This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong. Communication has proven to be a key priority, especially as COVID-19 continues to rage on. Social interaction, company transparency, and vaccination clarity come to mind. But for frontliners especially, direct, clear, and instant two-way communication is absolutely essential. To tell us more about the two-way radio and how they've been faring over the past year or so is Solomon Lortu, Managing Director at the Penang Design Center and Site Operations at Motorola Solutions Malaysia.
I'm Solomon Lortu. I'm the site managing director for our operations here in Penang. So we have a site, an integrated one-stop center that covers R&D functionalities, both design and development, coupled with a supply chain. And then we have several shared services operations in our site. So all in all, we are an end-to-end based company or operations that supports the global business for Motorola Solutions.
Mm-hmm. And so Motorola Solutions mainly focuses on critical communications as well as command center software and also video security and analytics services and products as well. But for the purposes of today, I think we're focusing primarily on that communications aspect. Can you just tell us a little bit about the idea of two-way radio devices and why they're so essential for frontline workers, especially now?
Sure. So, Christine, a real-life event comes to mind in this instant. So back in September 2017, if you recall, Hurricane Irma hit southern Florida with wind speeds of up to 295 kilometers an hour. And these are mean speed. And there was a great story that comes to mind of a pregnant woman in Coral Springs, Florida, that went into labor during the storm and called 911. First responders or frontline workers, if you want to call them, in that area relied on our integrated solutions for two-way radios, networks, computer-aided dispatch, and managed services for network monitoring and management. They actually took an armored vehicle to reach her home, and Motorola Solutions provided the essential lines of communications to help safely deliver a baby girl. So such a great news and a poignant story, which pretty much encapsulates why two-way radio is so important, essential in this instance. So what really happened during this storm shows that what it means for technologies to be mission critical. Mm. Our two-way devices, Christine, did not falter even through the muddy water and rain. Our P25 networks remained always on, meaning operational, withstanding the speeds of the forces of wind during the hurricane. Our CAT system flawlessly handled the surge in calls in those times. So really, having instant, reliable, and highly secure two-way radios is absolutely essential for frontline workers because this basically enables them to coordinate their resources, send the best qualified or nearest available person to do a job. This is why the mission-critical design and performance is essential, and that leads to what we do in our technology platform. So our company, Motorola Solutions, is a global leader in mission-critical communications and analytics. Today, it provides five primary technology platforms, and in these technology platforms that touching on LMR, which is foundational communications platform, we have been developing this since 1928, because voice will always be that so-called killer app, if you want to call it. And then we have the public safety LTE, where we are complementing our LMR networks with broadband solutions, which includes everything from deployable pop-up networks to rugged devices, which is basically to extend our customers' abilities to access data, which can help a person make that much of a better decision, which is really access to job details, videos, and images that drives a great efficiency in their proceedings.
Right.
So broadband is indeed a strong additive technology, if you want to call it. for different types of information that you can serve.
So like you said earlier, essentially end-to-end in terms of mission-critical communication. I do want to just clarify a few things from a layman's perspective. When you say two-way radio, for the purposes of this interview as well, when we say two-way radio, it's essentially kind of like a walkie-talkie, right?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. So can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, to what extent has that sort of technology progressed since it was initially, I guess, introduced, you know, in the early 1900s?
Wow, that's quite a long way back. So, it has evolved significantly and tremendously as a standalone technology, and also in an ecosystem that works fantastically well with the broadband solutions that we have of today. So, if I may recall, our first ever public safety car radio was put into operation in 1930, which is really utilizing two-way communications. And like you said, the first walkie-talkie. So this catchphrase came to the fore during the Second World War, where this was widely used by the American soldiers out in the field. As a primary mode of communications, as a two-way. In a layman's term, a two-way communications allows secure communications that is uninterrupted between the two end-to-end parties at a frequency of interest. Mm. And this is certainly different in a commercial sense, whereby when we are using our cellular phones, Christine, today you can drive using a cellular phone, and sometimes you have calls that drops, and then we are understanding of this phenomena, and we wait, and then we call back if that call needs to be continued.
Mm.
But in our scheme of things, when it comes to two-way radio communications, where our customers depend on always-on communications, this foundational technology of ours have served tremendously.
Mm.
Right, so it retains the sanctity of the calls, the resilience of it, and the robustness of it, and the reliability of that call is what we do best.
Right. So primarily, from my understanding, the products that Motorola Solutions has, especially these mission-critical communication products, are more geared towards first responders or frontline workers or whatever the term is for, emergency services, right? But are there other industries that you guys service as well? And in that case, you know, what kinds of industries also demand your products more?
Certainly. So So when you look at these solutions that we have, the frontline workers, first responders, and emergency services, these are the ones. But let's not forget about the enterprise customers that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, if you look at the big theme parks that you have out in this world, Disney theme park, for example, our solutions are being deployed in those areas. The network is being managed. The devices is in the employees' hands. Anything that requires loss of baggage tracking, missing articles that needs to be identified, a lost child. So all of these instances are being addressed with the solutions that we provide, which is primarily the networks that we set up in those areas, plus the devices and accessories that is in every employee's hands.
Mm, I see. I think Motorola Solutions dedicates a lot of its time, especially as we'll go into later on with your newest product, which is the MXP600. A lot of research and development goes into improving and innovating this two-way radio technology. But to what extent can you innovate further, right? I mean, I guess from, again, a layman's perspective, walkie-talkies are walkie-talkies up to a point. Like, you can have instant communication. So what's the next step? Like, how can you innovate past what is essentially already instant communication?
Yeah, so communications is an ever-evolving technology that can be worked on. So when you look at communications, there's a lot of parameters that governs the quality of these communications. Because when you're looking at in the analog world and the digital world, the quality of these calls that we make, it's very important. The subtle time that it takes for the calls to come through when someone speaks, and to the point of the recipient hearing the first words, and the quality of those speech that is being retained in all forms, and the wider recognition of the speaker. And this is a key challenges that every communication solutions providers faces today. Meaning, if you're speaking through a two-way radio, would the technology that we put in play recognizes the voice of yours so that the person who is listening to your communication could associate that speech to that speaker? So all of this requires a great deal of algorithm that goes into the play to synthesize each aspect of that speech to ever improve these performances. And let's think about the environment that this conversation happens. And these are very exacting environments where it could be a hurricane, it could be an emergency situation where it's it could be a riot, where the background noise are overwhelmingly loud, or it could be at the concert, right? So what kind of a technologies can we now put in play, Christine, to really filter intelligently these background noises away from the sanctity of that speech so that the person who are receiving or who is receiving this information has every chance possible to translate and get that message in its entirety.
All right. Well, on that note, it's time to take a short break for some messages. But after that, I will continue speaking to Solomon Lorthu, Managing Director at the Penang Design Center and Site Operations at Motorola Solutions Malaysia, about how the company has been faring throughout the pandemic. So do stay tuned to Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Behold freedom, Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Open for Business. I'm Christine Wong, and joining me on the line today is Solomon Lorthu. He is the Managing Director at the Penang Design Center and Site Operations at Motorola Solutions Malaysia. Before the break, we were talking a little bit about Motorola Solutions and what they do, basically talking about radio devices, the two-way radio devices that they provide, and how mission-critical communication is so important, especially in this time, and how this technology is innovated and improved, you know, over the time since it was introduced in the early 1900s. How has Motorola Solutions been affected by the pandemic? First, as a company yourselves, in terms of how you guys have adapted to working throughout the pandemic, but also as a provider of these really important emergency service radio communication devices as well.
Yeah, so as a company, in the midst of this pandemic, the one thing that we have greatly appreciated is that the demand for our technology, if anything, there was a greater demand, not only for radio technology, but for solutions to help frontline workers maintain safety and physical distance in the new scheme of things. Mm-hmm. Our fixed and body-worn video solutions and our smart software apps were among the technologies powered by data analytics and machine learning that really experienced great demand and new use cases. So just imagine the need for intelligent occupancy counting, face mask detection, physical distancing, where the algorithm comes in and does this seamlessly for you. So these solutions that we've had had a great uptick in demand. As a larger company, our revenue that we had for this for the closing year of full year of 2020, mm-hmm. We generated sales of about 7.4 billion. Albeit it was down 6% from a full year overall compared to the year previous, but it was still quite remarkable, I must admit, given the circumstances of the pandemic that was globally experienced by industries at large. So despite that, the one good thing is our company set a new record for backlog, which is what backlog means, products in inventory, ordered but not yet shipped. Mm. So we have a backlog of 11.4 billion, which is up by 175 or 2% from a year ago. And on the other side of things is the software and services segment grew 8% in quarter four or 9% in full year, which is great news. And here in APAC, in our region that we are, Christine, we contribute about 10% towards the company's annual global earnings.
Hmm. And also, how did you guys manage the transition towards remote working or physical distancing? How did you guys apply these SOPs to the way that you worked as well?
Wow. So where do I begin? So certainly getting ourselves moving in adoption of all these things that is happening or has happened in the last year has been a fantastic story that I can relate. So clearly on the outset or the onset of this pandemic, we were not spared, Christine, because we had one of our employee among the first in the industry sphere in Penang that contracted the virus as early as the first week of March. So at that point in time, we were watching everything unfurling from a distance in countries that were far and near. But when it hit us at that point in time, it gave us a fantastic opportunity to look at things with a fresh set of lens. So first thing that came into mind was the well-being of our employee, continuity of our business. So I'm glad to report that that employee have recovered really, really well. With the support that was given by everyone connected to the company. Our headquarters did a fantastic intervention when we learned of this case for the first time by allowing the facility to be closed for 2 weeks just to make sure the state of our facilities were properly sanitized and all SOPs are being observed to make sure the deep cleaning that was done is done in every nook and corner. But more importantly, this period of 2 weeks were also important for our employees at large because at that point in time, the stigmatization surrounding the virus and contraction of virus was pretty high. Mm. And hence, having that sphere for the employees to be at home and having that mental health well managed and not coming into the facility, having that nervousness or anxiousness in any way was important. Because once that 2 weeks was over, it was game on for us because how do we now get our business continuity up and running? So we had to look at things very differently, like what you said, Christine. So we had to look at business continuity as a scheme within the environments of how well we managed our facility, how well we manage our workforce. By managing the workforce, how well we manage our social stigma situation that we have with our employees, and also managing the mobility of our employees, because not much later, we had to go into the first lockdown as a country. In this scheme of things, we had to look at all these key levers. First and foremost, what do we understand? How do we construct? How do we leverage the learnings from other sites, other countries, and also with the resident voices of authority that we have when it comes to COVID-19 SOPs? How do we conduct emergency exit, and how do we conduct our sanitization exercise? Because if it is just one case, that's fine. What happens if it comes back at another point in time? So a strong task force, a very agile task force was put in play to make sure that they meet daily to manage through every incidences at the drop of a note. Mm. And then we also brought in a good set of parallel clinics, and also we employed clinical psychologists to stand by for our employees, because especially when you have in those days an employee being associated with a virus coming from a company, that company's employees will get stigmatized in some way. So, right. For instance, I got a call from my my children's school saying that, hey, the parents would love for your children to be at home for the next 2 weeks, for example. So these are things that we had to deal through as a group of strong employees, and we have overcome that. And right now it's a lot more accommodating as it has already gone and to become a community spread virus, and we are all dealing with it as well as we can. But in the early days, that was a little bit of a sticky situation for our employees. And then you got to also be ready for the ever-evolving SOP, because every stage of the lockdown, every stage of the from MCO to a CMCO and RMCO, it involves in some ways the tweaking of the SOPs by the Ministry of Health or the MKN. So integrating all these changes and getting the organization ready to be able to respond to this was key. And the one thing that we spend a lot of time, Christine, is how do we now look at the workplace and how do we redesign them to be pandemic friendly, if you want to call it. So we looked at the concept of bubbles and work pods, mm-hmm. and we looked at going in shifts so that, and then we moved into working from home and working from office, and remote management was key at that point in time, and it still is as we speak. So looking at the layers of functions that we have, how many of them should be in the office? Is their work critical? Is their work critically needs to be performed in the office? Can the work can be equally productively and efficiently being performed at home? So the larger mindset was having as few as people in the facility while having the majority of the people working from home, but not at the expense of a business continuity. So we had to relook of our deliverables. So if you run a program, if you want to speak about the MXP 600, mm-hmm. we were in the midst of running that design and development. So when we are stuck in the midst of a pandemic, we had to relook at the entire deliverables, reframe it differently. So every single work breakdown structure that we had, we had to look at it very tellingly to see how much of it can be achieved in the office and how much can be achieved at home, mm-hmm. and what sort of enablement that we provide for the employees to action it from home, be it the infrastructure, be it the license to bring certain equipment back home. Mm-hmm. Can they set up remote monitoring stations? Automation can be set up in the office so that they can remotely observe how tests are being done in the office 24/7. So we have to overcome these sets of challenges and innovate our way around this and retain our commitment. And I'm glad to report that that product that was stuck in the midst of a pandemic, I'm really proud of the team that we have in Penang that has rallied and has come together and looked at new and different opportunities to do things differently.
Right. I'm very glad to hear that, you know, as a company, you have taken into account clearly the physical and also mental health of all of your employees. And I'm also very glad to hear that the employee that did contract COVID is all right now as well. As you mentioned briefly, throughout this entire process and throughout having to deal with shifting all of your work practices, you were all working on this new product, the MXP 600. So we'll wrap up the interview with a little bit of a chat about this particular product. Not so much about the product itself, but the fact that, first of all, it's your current best-in-class product, this MXP 600 two-way radio, and specifically how it was brought to life by you guys, by this team of Malaysian engineers and product designers out of this R&D facility in Penang. And it was launched virtually as well. So tell me about what launching a product virtually was like.
Sure. So quickly, on as far as the launching of product virtually in today's day and age, I think we're all becoming more accustomed to doing this virtually. So virtual events were hosted to introduce the new solution to our customers, partners, and media as well. So MXP 600 was no different. So what we did a lot of video recordings. That played an important part with a number of videos produced to demonstrate the product's key features, which in other normal scheme of things, that would be demonstrated in front of the customers. And our rigorous tests that typically builds a confidence in the product that we have designed and developed. So that was also captured in a video and brought to life with the perspective of what the product can offer with new sets of features and some market-leading differentiators that we had designed into the product. So it is to be anticipated, I guess, Christine, that virtual launches are now part of the new COVID normal landscape and likely to be with us for some time yet.
Right. Well, on that note, that is Open for Business today with Solomon Lorthu, the Managing Director of the Penang Design Center and Site Operations at Motorola Solutions Malaysia. Thank you so much for joining us today to talk all about Motorola Solutions and the two-way radio device. You've been listening to Open for Business with me, Christine Wong. If you've missed any part of this podcast, you can download our app. That's available on the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also listen to us on Spotify, and you can also head over to our website, bfm.my, to listen back as well. This has been Open for Business here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.